Hello, this is Andy Bombeck, and welcome to another Mojo Music, where I'll be reading articles from Mojo Magazine, along with playing snippets of music. Please let Sun Sounds Radio know if you enjoy today's program, or how it could be improved. Okay, as I mentioned last week, I'm going to continue reading articles from the April 2024 Mojo Magazine. I'm going to start off, I'm going to continue the countdown of Mojo's top 30 Steely Dan songs, and then an article about Studio One reggae, famous reggae producer Clement Coxon Dodd, and how appropriate the classic album review of Kaya by Bob Marley. And if you couldn't join me last week I started the 30 Greatest Steely Dan Songs, Mojo Magazine. They have ranked them, and last week we ended with number 20, and the number 19 ranked Steely Dan song from Mojo Magazine is Black Cowl from Asia, 1977, a cryptic breakup song, self-explanatory, says Donald Fagen. The music sounds like it could be playing in the bar where the narrator tells his partner he's had enough of her infidelity. She downs her black cow, a Coke float, before spitting as the backing singers sweetly coo their commentary. This drama takes place over a doozy of a groove by drum maestro Bernard Purdy, known for bringing a sign into sessions proclaiming, "You done hired the hit maker." Black Cow wasn't a hit, but picked up plenty of FM airplay as the B-side of Josie. And here's a little bit of that song, Black Cow by Steely Dan from their album Asia. Coming in at number 18, the song Berrytown from Pretzel Logic, 1974. Mind the generation gap, please. This could be the opening theme to a 70s sitcom. That sporty piano figure, the throwback feel-good melody, a lyric that unfolds like a montage of something balding, middle-aged, square, shaking his head and fist at the high jinks of next-gen hipsters. Berrytown is near Bard College, Becker and Fagan's alma mater. So maybe there's some autobiography here. Fagan, who wrote this by himself, demurred, saying, "It's fiction. I use the name because I liked the sound of it." And here's a little bit of that song from Steely Dan, Berrytown from Pretzel Logic. ¶¶ And number 17, one of my favorite, Hey 19, from Gaucho, 1980. No fool, like an old fool, argues the Dan's longest charting hit. Over Rick Murata's puckered drums and aptly smug stabs of guitar, a song cycle of characters in decline, Gaucho's lead single featured a boomer realizing that his most impressive status symbol, the much younger girlfriend, is a poor fit. She doesn't know who Aretha Franklin is. The pair can't even dance together. A distance even copious amounts of Cuervo gold and fine Colombian can only hope to bridge. Older guy, younger gal stories always make us laugh, Fagan explained. Another failed May to December tryst featured on Cousin Dupree. And here's a little bit of that song, Hey 19, from Steely Dan off the album Gaucho. Okay, Mojo's pick as the number 16, Haitian Divorce from the Royal Scam 1976. Now we dolly back, now we fade to black. For who can hear, who can bear to look? The Pooka Skank, the toothsome allure of Dean Parks, chewy talk box spicing. Here was an typically tropical Dan sketching Babs and clean Willie's wham, bam, bust story with dazzling thrift. A verse in and they're divorced. Incompatibility of character in French, You're As Good As Gold, claimed Fagan, re-actual divorce in Haiti. And here's some of that song, Haitian Divorce, from the Royal Scam. At number 15, FM, No Static At All, 1978 single, a radio staple about how radio sucks. It just has to be about FM radio, was the loose guidance from the Hollywood moguls who commissioned the theme to FM, which starred Martin Mull as a Keyhoik DJ, taking a stand against the man. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the song, cut during sessions for Asia, took a more cynical view of the DJ's purpose, seeing them as purveyors of funked-up music, and noting the girls don't seem to care what's on. The movie was a flop, but the soundtrack went platinum. And here's some of that song, FM, No Static At All, from Steely Dan. Mojo's pick for number 14, Showbiz Kids, from Countdown to Ecstasy, 1973. So distasteful, it can barely be bothered changing chords. As simplistic as Steely Dan ever got, Jim Hodder's metronomic groove, a cousin of Nielsen's coconut, is a skeleton through which Rick Derringer's sizzling slide guitar blows inexorably. This time, the singers sitting targets the cool, rich scions of Hollywood, clad in Steely Dan t-shirts, natch, party, while the poor people sleepin'. The payoff? They don't give a fuck about anybody else. Repeated over 50 times in Super Furry Animals' 1996 single, The Man Don't Give a Fuck, is about as satisfying a mantra as there is. And here's a little bit of that song, Showbiz Kids by Steely Dan, from Countdown to Ecstasy. Number 13, Dirty Work, from Can't Buy a Thrill, 1972. Working for Donald and Walter is a sordid business. It's a lament, a freeway elegy sung by someone on their way to get fucked. By all accounts, Becker and Fagan didn't like the song, so they gave it to David Palmer. So when Palmer sings, I'm a fool to do your dirty work, against that funeral parlor organ and second-line brass section, he's a weary, free-for-hire gigolo. But also Becker and Fagan's rent boy. You hear that wretched cool in his delivery. He's a fool to do their dirty work, but he's the only one who can. And here's a little bit of Dirty Work from Can't Buy a Thrill, 1972. And number 12, Babylon Sisters from Gaucho, 1980. The end of the line, so to speak. A destination song, heavy with oppressive polish. Narratively, it's two guys driving west on sunset to hook up with the titular so fine, so young siblings. But everything here, those muted noir horns, mocking backing vocals, Bernard Purdy's stoned reggae shuffle, the slow rumba of Randy Brecker's flugelhorn, that Gatsby detail, distant light from across the bay, tell us they're never going to make it. It took 250 mixes to get this song right. You hear exhaustion in every perfect melancholy detail. And here's some of that song, Babylon Sisters, from Steely Dan, from their album, Gaucho. And at number 11, New Frontier from Donald Fagen off of his album The Nightfly, 1982. Pathological self-consciousness might have been key to Steely Dan, but personal honesty mostly seemed beneath them. For his first solo album, however, Donald Fagen tried out a different strategy. I think it's possible to be more personal and subjective when you're working by yourself, he told NME a few months after The Nightfly's October 1982 release. To that end, the album came with a sleeve note promising the songs on this album represent certain fantasies that might have been entertained by a young man growing up in the remote suburbs of a northeastern city during the late 50s and early 60s, i.e. one of my general height, weight, and build. The action of side two, track one, takes place on the cusp of that revolutionary decade, informed by John F. Kennedy's speech to the Democratic Convention in 1960. I'm asking each of you to be pioneers toward that new frontier, Kennedy proposed. Can we carry through in an age where we will witness not only new breakthroughs in weapons of destruction, but also a race for mastery of the sky and the rain, the ocean and the tides, the far side of space and the inside of men's minds? Boundless optimism. Existential threat. Kennedy's grand themes could reverberate in the most sedate environs, not least Passaic, New Jersey. It is here, or somewhere very like it, that the drama of Fagin's New Frontier plays out. Our hero plots a wingding in his father's fallout shelter, a date with a girl who will be seduced by his scholarly enthusiasm for Dave Brubeck. The song vibrates with possibility, sex, escape to the city, a transformed future, all potentially compromised by Cold War anxieties. As in subject matter, so in sound, New Frontier, like the rest of the Nightfly, presents a stainless digital reimagining of how jazz, rather than rock and roll, could have underpinned the evolution of pop. I think jazz died for me sometime in the mid-60s, Fagin told NME, but here it feels folded into what came next. It's a song in constant forward motion, organic and programmed sounds in uncanny harmony. Larry Carlton's guitar flexes like speed blurs on a never-ending freeway. The candor is at least superficially overwhelmed by the dynamics, but even this degree of soul-bearing proved traumatic for Fagin. After delivering the Nightfly to Warner Brothers, I came apart like a cheap suit, he wrote in his 2013 memoir, Eminent Hipsters. Panic attacks and depressive episodes would persist through most of the 1980s, followed by a suppression of autobiographical context on later records. By the time he returned in solo Rament with Kamakurid in 1993, Fagin's adolescent love of sci-fi had fashioned a techscape of supercars and skyways, an idealized new frontier, untroubled by reality, into which the caution's world builder could disappear completely. And here's a little bit of one of my favorite songs, New Frontier, by Donald Fagin, off of The Nightfly. Number 10, Bodhisattva. From Countdown to Ecstasy, 1973, the hipster disarma according to Skunk and Danny. The rock band, as ultra-compacted Duke Ellington Orchestra, living out their fantasies in hyper-accelerated swing time. Fagan and Becker's sarcastic take on the rich hippie quest for enlightenment is pointed, but it's the Countdown era quintet in full flow that makes Bodhisattva so remarkable, especially guitarist Denny Diaz and Skunk Baxter, trading harmonized riffs and solos. Diaz, the bebopper, meets Baxter, the skunk, beneath the bow tree in this altered blues, explains the sleeve notes. Though comparing them to an uptown Duane Allman and Dickie Beck's works, too. Has Verosity ever sounded so exhilarating? And here's Bodhisattva from Countdown to Ecstasy. At number 9, Any Major Dude Will Tell You. From Pretzel Logic, 1974, a dude abides and empathizes. Like Woody Allen and Neil Simon, Becker and Fagan use the 70s comic trope of the New Yorker transplanted in Los Angeles, uncomfortably awash in sunshine and alfalfa sprouts. And in this song, the West Coast subsequent of Dude, the music is appropriately bi-coastal, Laurel Canyon, feathery acoustics, dovetailing with urban Wurlitzer stabs as Chuck Rainey's James Jamerson-like bass fastens it together in one of a long line of fanciful, abstruse usages. There's a reference to a mythical tear-dissolving creature that had the musicians whispering, "What's a squonk?" And here's a little bit of that song, Any Major Dude Will Tell You, from Steely Dan from Pretzel Logic.
I've seen you looking so bad, my funky one. You tell me that your super fine mind has come undone. Any major dude with half a heart surely will tell you, my friend. Any minor world that breaks apart falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there. No. Tell you blame on a world that breaks apart, falls together again. When the demon is at your door, in the morning it won't be there no more. Any major doom will tell you.
And coming in at number 8 at the countdown, My Old School. From Countdown to Ecstasy, 1973. Best Buddies, Bielman, Bard, Bust. Fagan and Becker first met at Bard College, a bohemian school in upstate New York. In 1968, the local fuzz busted dormitories of long-haired students for marijuana possession, including FNB. Furious at the school's cooperation with the Oinks, the duo wrote this catchy fuck you. The Daddy G, name checked, was Assistant District Attorney G. Gordon Liddy, a future Watergate burglar. Despite singing, I'm never going back to my old school, Fagan returned in 1985, wryly explaining, I'm not one to hold a grudge. And here's a little bit of the song, My Old School, from Steely Dan, from the album Countdown to Ecstasy. Number 7, Asia. From the album Asia, 1977. So much going on, but so subtly. A warm bath of a song. After a lengthy separation, Asia, the album, marks Steely Dan's divorce from rock. But its 8-minute centerpiece, the longest Dan song until West of Hollywood, was their impeccably produced jazz rock zenith. Lyrically, a sort of tribute to the sounds of Asia, Chinese music always sets me free. This was music to luxuriate in over the long distance. Beyond Fagan's vocals and Denny Diaz's final Steely Dan moment, Steve Gadd and Wayne Shorter respectively delivered drum and saxophone solos of otherworldly quality. And here's a little bit of that song, Asia, from the album Asia. Thank you. number 6, Deacon Blues, from Asia, 1977. Of them all, this is the one that cuts deep. Encapsulates all that Steely Dan excelled at, spotless and gorgeous playing, rich in the romance of jazz, and a lyric narrated by a character that is, sad to say, something of a loser. In this world, living the best life includes playing the saxophone, drinking scotch whiskey all night long, getting overly emotional while soloing, and then inevitably dying in a tragic car wreck. Unexpectedly, both lyric and music pierce the heart, like few other songs ever have. And here's a little bit of that song, Deacon Blues, from Steely Dan, from their album, Asia. And I apologize, you'll have to tune in next week to hear the top 5 Steely Dan songs. And here's the article, Studio One Reggae, the pick of Jamaica's foundational label. Reggae's most important record label, Studio One, began life 70 years ago as a sound system in Kingston, Jamaica. Its then 22-year-old owner, Clement Coxon Dodd. He was a good cricketer at school and was nicknamed after short-tempered Yorkshire bowler Alec Coxon, was an avid jazz fan who, during a 1954 trip to Harlem in New York, had picked up a batch of boogie-woogie, R&B, Mirage, and jazz records to play out on his Sir Coxon's downbeat sound system. With DJ pioneer Count Machuki on mic duties, Coxon's sound was an immediate sensation, rivaling the more established Duke Reed sound system and Prince Buster's Voice of the People. But as the American R&B craze fizzled out towards the end of the 1950s, Dodd and his competitors were forced to record their own homegrown Jamaican music to meet demand. Coxon opened the doors to his Studio One facility at 13 Brentford Road in Kingston in 1963, a year after Jamaican independence and at the height of the ska boom. It was the first black-owned recording studio on the island, and became known as the Motown of Jamaica, with Dodd producing alongside gifted engineer Sylvian Morris and genius musical director Jackie Mitu, trailblazing records by such reggae luminaries as the Wailers, Burning Spear, the Scatolites, Horace Andy, Toots and the Maytals, the Heptones, Marcia Griffith, Delroy Wilson, Ken Booth. The list goes on. The imprint's dominance during the mid-60s and early 70s can be put down to a variety of factors. Dodd's exceptional musical taste and acute ear for a hit. His skills as a facilitator and no-nonsense business approach. Although significantly, he was the only producer to allow his Rastafarian singers and players to smoke their sacred herb in the studio. The label had its own instantly recognizable sound, a jazzy, mellifluous flow of catchy melodies, immaculate vocal harmonies, and infectious rhythms. But really, it comes down to the simple fact that Studio One had more swing, groove, and, crucially, soul than any other label. By mid-1980s, digital dancehall ruled Jamaica, and S1's popularity was on the wane, so Dodd shut up shop and relocated to New York before his death in 2004. Visionary producer left behind the finest catalog of reggae music ever recorded, which has since been lovingly curated under license by labels such as Heartbeat and Soul Jazz, while the former's Chris Wilson is currently repressing Studio One material from the vaults through S1. But be warned, with this month's How to Buy, this vast, ageless archive is the richest seam in reggae history, with original vinyl pressings going for exorbitant prices. So be prepared to occasionally dig a little deeper for the gold. Here's one of Mojo's top picks, the performer Bob Andy and his album titled Songbook. A song titled My Time.
My resistance is getting weaker. I just can't stand the pressure. I can't be any meager. I've got to find me some of the treasure I need. Nothing to be a man, because I was born a man. And I deserve the right to live like the other man. My mind's in such a state. Sometimes it makes me sick. At times I've tried to hate, but I just don't know the trick. I need nothing to be a man, because I was born a man. And I deserve my right to feel like any other man.
And here's a little bit about the album Foundation Ska from the band The Scatolites. Phenomenal early 60s picks from the first great band of reggae. H. Anderson via email. Jamaica's premier instrumental band, The Scatolites, were only together from 1963 to 65, but their contributions to the island's music and towering influence beyond incalculable. Although the core members, including mercenary trombone genius Don Drummond, also recorded for rival producers Duke Reed and Justin Yap, it was Dodd who was most responsible for the group's formation. This top drawer heartbeat comp perfectly illustrates how the Scatolites defined the sound of S1 in the early years. The band is spiritual communion. Half of them were Rastas and exploring jazz and big band swing influences. Folklore melodies, traditional mento soul. TV movie themes, and even the Beatles. I should have known better. Here's the Scatolites playing that Beatles song, I Should Have Known Better. That's a perfect lead into our classic album review, which happens to be Kaya by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Bob Marley spent most of his life as a militant. He preached the way of the Rasta man, love for all mankind, and trying to get the descendants of Africa to rise up and give no quarter against the people that had abused them for the past 200 years. But even militants have to spend some time resting. Che Guevara spent several months touring on a motorcycle. Mayo Seitung swam across the Yellow River. And Bob Marley released Kaya. Kaya is dedicated to Marley's other love, that of the herb. Kaya is an easy album to listen to and an even easier album to absorb. Compared to the powerful messages pushed in earlier works, such as Exodus, Kaya's songs are about more simpler things, such as smoking ganja and easy skanking, or love songs such as Is This Love? But what Marley puts his mind to, he pulls off with expert precision. Here's a little bit of that song, Is This Love, from Bob Marley off the Kaya album. Kaya will leave you relaxed upon its completion, and it may even be hard to turn the album off. It is simply that easy to listen to. It might not be Bob's most brilliant album when compared to Exodus, and Kaya is only lightly covered on the Best of Album legend. But it provides an excellent insight into a man who is never angry and always seemed to have a smile on his face. Bob Marley wants you to light that spliff and enjoy yourself. Unfortunately, once again, that's all the time that we have. Please join me next week when I complete the Mojo Reviews, the top five Steely Dan songs. Also, an interview with the rock icon Dion, an article about the Butthole Surfers, and a classic album review of Frampton Comes Alive by, of course, Peter Frampton. Until then, this is Andy Bombeck for Mojo Music, saying so long and keep rocking.